Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY26 conference call hosted by GEM Aromatics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference, please signal for an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephones. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar IR. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Farah. Good afternoon, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to the GEM Aromatics Quarter 2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the second quarter and the half-year ended on September 30th, 2025. Today, we have with us the senior management team of GEM Aromatics Limited, Mr. Yash Parekh. He's a Managing Director and CEO. Then Kaksha Parekh, she's a Whole-Time Director and a Chairman and also a CFO. Along with them, we also have Suraj Shah. He's a Deputy CFO, and Ajit Shah, he's from CEO's office. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's belief, opinion, and expectations as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including investor presentation and press release, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange. I now invite Mr. Yash Parekh to share his initial remarks on the company's performance for the second quarter and half-year ended on 30th September 2025. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of GEM Aromatics, I extend a warm welcome to all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders in this call. Before I begin, I'd like to express our sincere appreciation to our investors, customers, partners, and employees for the trust and support they continue to place in GEM Aromatics. Their confidence motivates us as we enter this new phase of growth. This is a special moment for us as it marks our first call following our listing on the NSE and BSE on August 26th. Going public represents a significant milestone in our 27-year journey. The IPO was undertaken to strengthen our balance sheet through partial repayment of borrowing and to support our long-term growth plan. GEM Aromatics was established in 1997, and over the years, we have transformed from a single product, single facility, and single customer setup into a leading specialty ingredients company. We have built a strong foundation in chemistry, manufacturing, and customer trust, enabling us to serve global flavor, fragrance, wellness, and personal care industries. Today, we are a well-established manufacturer of specialty ingredients, essential oils, aroma chemicals, and value-added derivatives. Our portfolio has expanded into an integrated range of mother ingredients, intermediates, and forward integrated derivatives. We now offer up to 70 products at GEM Aromatics. Our wholly owned subsidiary, Crystal Ingredients, which began its phase one of production for clove vertical in March 2024. Our phase two, which will drive the next leg of growth, is expected to commence on November 30th. All the approvals are in place. The chemistry set off primarily includes the phenol derivatives, cooling agents, and citral derivatives. These products are used across a diverse set of applications, such as oral care, cosmetics, nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals, home and personal care, wellness, aromatherapy, and several specialized industrial uses. Our in-house research and development center plays a central role in supporting innovation and long-term growth. The center is led by a team of 13 scientists who focus upon developing new molecules, improving yields, and advancing green chemistry processes. Through innovations such as vapor phase technology and proprietary catalysts, we continue to enhance product quality, process sustainability, and operational efficiency. Our manufacturing capabilities form the backbone of our business. We currently operate three strategically located facilities in Silvassa, Padaiyu, and Dahej, with a combined installed capacity of 5,346 metric tons per annum, and are further adding 10,829 metric tons of new capacity at Crystal, and will take our total capacity to more than 16,000 metric tons per annum. These plants are equipped with continuous reaction systems, high vacuum fractional distillation columns, high-pressure reactors, and advanced process automation, which enable us to manage complex chemistries efficiently and at scale. The phase two of our new plant at Dahej will be commissioned by the end of November, with an additional capacity, as mentioned earlier, at 10,829. This facility is an important milestone for the company. It will house India's largest cooling agents unit capacity of over 500 metric tons per annum, along with dedicated lines for phenol derivatives and citral derivatives. I would also like to highlight that our phenol derivatives unit has been built on the next generation technologies, which enhance efficiency, consistency, and overall product. Furthermore, the Dahej project represents an investment of around 250 crores, funded through a combination of internal accruals and debt. Crystal Ingredients is also eligible for a 15% corporate tax rate under government incentives, a benefit that continues in perpetuity and supports long-term profitability. Our customer base continues to expand globally. We now serve more than 269 customers across 18 countries, including several leading flavor and fragrance houses and major FMCG companies. This wide and diversified customer reach strengthens our global presence and reflects the trust we have built through consistent quality, reliable supply, and long-standing partnerships. This strong combination of diversified chemistry, global customer relationships, integrated manufacturing, and technology-driven innovation positions GEM Aromatics as a trusted, forward-looking specialty ingredient company, well-placed to deliver sustainable growth in the years ahead. Coming to our performance from the second quarter and the first half of FY 2026, we faced several external challenges that affected demand and margins. The uncertainty around the U.S. tariff led customers to defer our orders and rely on existing inventories, which impacted our export volumes. Lower realization in the mint category also put pressure on margins. Since mint continues to be a large part of our existing business, in the domestic market, the change in the GST rates, with natural menthol at 5% and synthetic menthol at 18%, compared to the earlier uniform rate of 12%, led to customers to reassess their blend requirements and delay purchases. As Crystal ramps up, our dependence on mint and mint derivatives will come down. Despite these challenges, we are taking proactive measures to reduce the impact. We are strengthening our sourcing strategy, optimizing production planning, maintaining strict inventory discipline, and working closely with key customers to stabilize volumes and improve visibility. These actions will help us manage volatility going forward. Our growth strategy continues to be driven by three priorities. The first is continuous investment in technology and process excellence across our core chemistries. The second is strengthening our research development capabilities to create new molecules and deepen customer engagement and increase wallet share. And the third focus is on sustainability and operational efficiency through green chemistry, effluent processes, and responsible manufacturing. The long-term demand outlook for our products remains strong, we continue to see steady growth in oral care, personal care, wellness, flavors, fragrances, and alternative medicine in India and globally. Rising disposable income, premiumization trends, and shift towards natural and wellness-focused ingredients continue to support these demands. With our diversified portfolio, integrated chemistry capabilities, scale, efficient manufacturing, global customer base, and innovation-driven mindset, we believe Gem Aromatics will deliver sustainable and profitable growth in the years ahead. With this, I would like to invite our Chief Financial Officer to take you through the detailed financial performance for the quarter and the half year. Thank you. Over to you. This is Kasha Parekh.
Thank you, Yash. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the financial performance for the Q2 FY26. Revenue from operations stood at 89.5 crore. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 3 crore, reflecting an EBITDA margin of 3.4%. The company reported a net loss of rupees 2.6 crore for the quarter, and cash PAT stood at 0.5 crore. For the first half of FY26, revenue from operations stood at rupees 177.2 crore. EBITDA for the period was rupees 17.9 crore with an EBITDA margin of 10.1%. Net profit of H1 FY26 was at rupees 5.4 crore, resulting in a PAT margin of 3.1%. Cash PAT for the first half was rupees 10.3 crores. Our performance during the quarter was influenced by several external factors, as Yash mentioned earlier. I will quickly take you through them once again. The 50% tariff imposed by US led many customers to defer orders, utilizing their existing inventories, which impacted export volume. On domestic front, the recent changes in the GST prompted buyers to reassess their blend requirements, resulting in a temporary pause in purchases. These factors led to softer demand in mint derivatives, clove, and clove oil derivatives, which are among our largest product categories. At the same time, demand of our natural, synthetic, and phenol derivatives remained healthy. In terms of the total profitability, both gross margins and EBITDA were under pressure. High raw material cost and lower realization in mint and mint derivatives affected margins, while the weaker demand in mint and clove resulted in an unfavorable product mix. Although our phenol derivatives and other ingredients continue to perform well, their scale is not yet sufficient to offset the impact from our larger segments. Additionally, higher other expenses and inventory adjustments during the quarter further weighed on profitability. Our depreciation also increased during the period. In the first half, we completed capitalization of major assets at Crystal Ingredients. As of 30th September, the revised net block stood at around 206 crores, with an approximately rupees 25 crore classified as capital work in progress. Following this capitalization, depreciation increased to about rupees 4.8 crores in H1 FY26 compared to roughly 3.5 crores in H1 FY25, which had an impact on overall profitability. On the balance sheet front, we continue to strengthen our financial position. The company repaid 140 crores split into 97.4 crores of long-term debt pertaining to Crystal Ingredients and an additional of 42.6 crore of working capital borrowings at Gem Aromatics. In line with the other planned utilization of IPO proceeds, these repayments have significantly improved leverage profile, bringing the net debt to equity ratio down to 0.3x from 0.8x earlier. With this, we can open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star followed by one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may enter star followed by two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. The first question is from the line of Tushar from Omega Portfolio Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I could see that majority of your CapEx is in the phenol derivative business. Like the product which you'll be manufacturing, there are already competition in India. So firstly, just wanted to know what was the reason behind that? And secondly, sir, it was earlier 3% of your revenue. And what sort of margins are you seeing in this phenol business?
Yes, so it's a greenfield project, Tushar, that we have set up at Dahej. So there are multiple other products in our multi-purpose plant that we have established. The phenol derivatives, of course, is a significant contribution to the total capacity that has been installed. First, let me answer the question, which is the rationale of getting into this particular segment. Now, we also manufacture currently synthetic anethol, for which main precursor is glycerol. So the thought process was effectively to start with going in a backward integration from to manufacture our own glycerol. That we have been able to successfully implement with a complete vapor phase based technology, thereby getting efficiencies to clearly produce our downstream, which was anethol. That was the plan. That was the reason for getting into the anisol chemistry. And as we explored further, we found more product contingencies in MEHQ, guaiacol, and then guaiacol further leading into more value-added aroma chemicals that we are trying to come up with in our years to come. So we do see a complete value chain chart that can further tie up with our core, which is the FNF ingredients. And as far as the margin question is concerned, that is question, and at the company level is what we are giving. On a category level, we are not giving out any specific margins.
So will that be a margin accretive from your average company level margin? That would be my question. And so, like secondly, considering the chemistry, I think the end product would be the vanillin in the product basket. Considering your vapor-based technology, I think one of the competitors is already doing that technology. I wanted to know the right to win in this product basket. The MEHQ, BHA, Biocol, 4MP, 4MAP, that was the thing. And then secondly, we will be the dominant player in the cooling agent market. 400 and MTA is a very big capacity. So in terms of export, if you fulfill the Indian capacity, we are still remaining with the plenty amount of capacity. How are we targeting the export in the cooling agent business?
So there are actually 3 points that I've noted down. I'll go one by one on each one of them. Number one, vanillin. We are not doing anything when it comes to vanillin. So we are not going in that particular chemistry where we are going downstream from guaiacol into vanillin. So that particular question needs to be parked right there, where vanillin is not going to be a part of our product, point number one. Now, coming to the MEHQ, BHA, 4MAP, etc., which is pretty much the phenol value chain that we're describing, clearly, in terms of our process technology that we have implemented, we feel confident that we will be able to do better margins than what are expected from the other existing portfolio. That's there. As a right to win, there is contingencies that we have figured out. Like I mentioned, one example where the exact start of the phenol category was because we had started focusing upon synthetic anethol, which is a pure aroma chemical product going into flavors and fragrances, and then going back for integration to anisol. Similarly, as we go further downstream from anisol into MEHQ glycol, even from glycol, there are other aroma chemical products that are in the pipeline, such as eugenol derivatives, that we plan to further implement it on. Now, as we go in the usual derivative section, on the synthetic side, we also have a dominant position from the flow vertical into eugenol and eugenol derivatives on the natural side. So we find a complete contingency where we are offering the natural solution as well as the synthetic solution to an entire range of customers. So that was the rationale for selecting the entire phenol chemistry. Now the point three that you had mentioned about cooling agents. Yes, we have set up the largest capacity in India for cooling agents. It is a downstream from our majority of the cooling agents, which is primarily WS3 and WS5. They come in from menthol. Now, we already make menthol in our mint vertical. So this is the logical downstream that we have selected. And also there are an entire series and sets of customers where we can target selling this cooling agent into, which is primarily the confectionery segment and their pain management segment, where there's the highest application of these cooling agents. Now, GEMS' current exposure in the confectionery segment with its core portfolio is limited, but these confectionery companies also happen to be big buyers of our existing mint portfolio. So it does open cross-selling opportunities across our product verticals, and this gives us a tactical advantage because there is no one else in India who's currently offering that product. So we feel fairly confident there are advanced level discussions going on with multiple customers in this particular subject.
Sir, my last question basically is...
sir, can we ask you to come up with the follow-up question later, Tushar sir?
Fair enough.
Thank you. Participants, as a request, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant so that the management can address all the questions in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So the key 2 questions on the mint derivatives domestically regarding the GST issue that you highlighted in the presentation. So what is the progress and what the kind of resolution to that you see? Is there any light there coming in? And secondly, on the tariff-related issues that have happened on the U.S. side of the business. So both critical issues, we would like to have some detailed thoughts of yours on that.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So first, let me address the second part of the question, which is tariffs. Now, tariffs clearly on last week of August, 50% tariffs were practically announced. That did have a significant impact as majority of our large-scale customers have gone ahead and accepted the tariff pass-through. But because the number is so large at 50%, they are primarily slowed down on their demand. They have been utilizing extensively their in-house stock and depleting those stocks. And everyone is hopeful that these tariff situations will correct as the news reports currently suggest. So we do see this demand regardless to come back about Q4, in a scenario that the tariff does adjust or does not adjust. But at this stage, we are finding that the customers are pretty much on a bare minimum fallout position. That's point one. Now, coming to the other part, which is GST, on September 2nd, the GST Council had announced the change in the GST rate, where natural mint and menthol primarily was moved from 12% to 5%, and synthetic was moved into 18%. Now, as a result of this, what has happened is that majority of the customers are also trying to figure out the exact blend composition, and as GEM, we offer the entire solution range. So, as a result of which, there has been some degree of pent-up demand that we see coming back around Q4. But the customers, again, are really trying to rework their formulations and come back to the market.
Okay, so on the first part, I think somewhere you mentioned in an interview on TV that through Thailand, things can be managed on the tariff side, and still now we are in a situation where the sales are not happening. One, that, and secondly, on the India GST issue, would you really think that the demand will be back from Q4 or demand would shift? I mean, how would that happen to maybe the natural ones? I mean, something on this will help because it's very difficult to understand this thing.
I completely understand. Tariff situation was just specific to one customer. Now, that particular customer still has to pay about close to 19% tariffs coming in from China as well. Now, that's also an impact. They have gone bare minimum, either be it Thailand, be it Ireland, be it any other geography from where these customers can officially do a complete bypass mechanism, so to speak. That's where we are sensing some degree. Hello? Hello? Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Ashish, sir, are you able to hear the management?
Hello?
I think there's an issue with your line. If you could return to the question queue, we will then move on to the next question. We have the next question from the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes. My question is on your CapEx. Recently, we are adding around 10,829 MTPA capacity. In which we are about to manufacture MEHQ and all, which is very high asset and all. What kind of capacity are we coming with for MEHQ and the EBITDA margin are we expecting? What kind of peak revenue from this facility can we get?
From a standpoint, sir, of the actual capacities that we are putting up, that's 10,829. A large part of it is going to be towards phenol. We are not giving category-wise profit margins or EBITDAs, but certainly what our eventual, it's going to be margin accretive, and our eventual goalpost is in FY 2028, at the company level, we are going to be in the range of about 1,050 crores-1,100 crores at the EBITDA, about 16%-18%.
16%-18%.
Yeah.
Can we have the bifurcation of MEHQ capacity that we are going to put?
Sir, I'm sorry. I'm not able to hear you very clearly. Could you please repeat?
Yeah, I'm saying that can we have a breakup of the capacity that we are putting out of this? Is it possible?
It's a multipurpose plant, and we are not giving out capacities based on product categories, as there's a high degree of fungibility as well.
Okay. Now, sir, is it operational?
By 30th November, the phase two, which is primarily pertaining to phenol, is going to be operational for. Effectively, the MEHQ and the glycol production would start in Q4, after around January/February.
Sir, what kind of utilization level are we expecting from this year and the next year from this facility?
Sir, as the situations are extremely volatile at a geopolitical level as well, plus this entire brand new plant is coming up. As we completely streamline this particular plant over the next one quarter, I think there is going to be much better visibility towards Q4, for FY 2027.
Okay. Sir, what is our existing capacity utilization right now of our existing plant?
Right. Could you please repeat the question? It's not very clear to me for some reason.
The existing capacity that we have, so what is the capacity utilization as of now?
60%.
60%. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you very much for answering the question.
Thank you. Participants, please limit your questions to two questions per participant. We have the follow-up from Ashish Gandlawar from InvesQ PMS. Please go ahead.
I couldn't hear the second part of the answer on the last question that I had. On the U.S. tariffs through Thailand, we were trying to mitigate, and secondly, on the GST front, are we really sure that from Q4 things will be normal or maybe better?
At this moment, there are moving parts that are clearly external in nature. We are figuring out from a standpoint of having adequate solutions of things that we can control. and the Mint portfolio has been affected to some degree with this GST. The way we are trying to mitigate this is by in-crystal what value-added products or specialties that we had planned for FY 2027 and 2028, we are fast-tracking them and bringing them much sooner so that these are the parts that we can control, and trying to replace the revenue from the Mint category into the value-added product of Aroma.
How much of the Mint portfolio percentage-wise maybe is affected right now? Or is it the entire thing?
As of pretty much the entire thing, sir. Again, it's a fairly, yeah, so we're about 70% is our total revenue in FY 2027 was the Mint portfolio.
Right.
I'm sorry, my apologies. FY 2025. 70% as of FY 2025.
Okay. So you think that fast-forward can happen, I mean, the value-added products that you're mentioning from FY 2027 target to now FY 2026 sometime?
Yeah. We have already with the multipurpose facility that we have set up, it is going to be possible for us to go ahead and fast-track those. And the R&D and the pipeline for a lot of these chemistries has already been put in place. Now we are in the full drive mode to have them start in the following financial year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshita Deo from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to understand the gross margin drop that has happened for this quarter. What would be the reasons for the same, and what are the normalized margins that we should expect for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Hi. So I think on realizations, we did face some pressure, particularly in menthol and the Mint business. So that's given so many headwinds around Mint, right? So partially, I'll say there was also raw material pressure. But the large part of gross margin erosion was because realizations came off. And I think so we are not really giving a margin guidance, particularly because extremely volatile times, very tough to say today what we will do, I mean, what we will be able to achieve. But the goal is to reach back to our long-term averages.
Can you tell me more about the raw material pressure that you face? Because in Mint oil, I believe it is the raw unprocessed Mint oil that is the raw material, right? So what happened here?
So ma'am, just effectively from a standpoint of the way we are seeing the entire on the purchase side as well, the entire GST scenario shaping up, there are a lot of change in the formulation that is happening even at the customer's end. As a result of which, this is something that is very the costings have gone up, and that's the reason why this is happening. Now, it is transient in nature, and we effectively have change stabilization by Q4.
Okay. All right. And so what about you mentioned that there would be competition as well, right? That would be coming up in both of the categories because we are facing competition on the tariff side with different geographies for exports. We are facing competition from the GST front. And in the new vertical that would be launching, there also there are competitors putting up new capacity. So what is our strategy to mitigate and come out of this the winner, basically?
Yes, Dr. Prasada. So the strategy is clear. We continue to focus on the parts that we can control, and that is by getting into newer products that are there in our pipeline, which are value-accretive in nature. These are specialty products targeting the aroma chemical industry, and that's precisely what we are going towards. So one of the examples of this would be, for example, there is a situation in the phenol chemistry where BHA was effectively planned for an FY 2028 startup for us. So we have fast-tracked that, and we are going to be starting that particular production in FY 2027. We are going into forward integration. And also in the aroma chemical side, we are going into specific TAM product, which are we're selecting products that are going to be very that are going to be unique. We have a story of import substitution primarily, and then focusing upon domestic sales for these specialties.
Okay, sir. And sir, so just
ma'am, could you please return to the question queue?
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kapil Ahuja from Equinox Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Kapil Ahuja from Equinox, please go ahead. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I need some clarification on this cooling agent. Have we commenced the production of cooling agent, and what is the top line that we are showing for cooling agents right now?
So we are going to start the production of cooling agents by November 30th, effectively. And then as we start the production and the first batches come through, that's when the top line would really come up. We are not giving some category-wise top line specifically. But we expect a reasonable degree of utilization starting from December 1st on.
And by this financial year end, how much capacity utilization are we expecting? Just rough idea from cooling agent.
Yeah, so see, as we're starting this multipurpose plant, I think, and given macroeconomic headwinds we're facing, we're not really focusing on capturing all of it in FY26. I think FY27 would be a more normalized year where there'll be decent utilization, capacity utilization at Crystal as well. And we'll start line-wise, of course, parallelly also running all the lines, but tough to give a number for FY26. So as we have more visibility, in the quarters to come, we'll be able to comment better.
So our total capacity is around 500 tons or more?
Was that for cooling agents you're asking?
Yes.
Yes. It is 500 tons.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, sir. That's all.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Darshan Garg from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. So the significant deal that has been because of the tariffs, GST, but also you have mentioned in the presentation that the menthol realizations have decreased. So by how much has that reduced? And how are we seeing the prices of menthol?
So we can't hear the question very clearly. Could you please repeat the question and be slightly louder?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So the significant degrowth that has been because of the tariffs, GST, and also you have mentioned in the presentation that the menthol realizations have decreased. So by how much it has impacted our revenues, and now from here onwards, how are we seeing the prices of menthol?
So the prices have come down from last year by about 10% or so in the actual gross value of that particular product. And as we move forward, the idea is to forward integrate menthol into cooling agents. So the game plan is set for moving in that direction where we can control based on capacities, the technology that we have put in, and really drive the business forward. So we'll be doing less of direct menthol sales, actually manufacturing menthol, and going more forward into the cooling agents.
Okay. So next question is, what extent of RM price is passed out to, is possible to the customers?
So it is what extent of
The RM price is possible to pass on to our customers?
So I think we were able to pass on a large part of the RM volatility to our customer, given in the normal business scenario. However, we also carry an inventory holding model, right, where we, given mint is a large part of the business currently, the procurement season is where the mint is procured. And then based on a replenishment model, we keep changing or refilling those inventories. So to that extent, you manage your costing. But given this quarter had, you know, this headwinds around GST and other, and menthol realizations, obviously this quarter got impacted to a large extent, but should normalize going forward.
Okay. Last question is, doTERRA is both a key customer and a shareholder. So could you elaborate on the value add they bring to the business?
Sir, sorry to interrupt. Would it be possible for you to come back for your question?
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, please limit your questions to two questions per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parikh from Absolute Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, we were in touch with one of the large confectionery giant for supply of menthol. So have you started touch quantity or initial quantity for them servicing?
So, Rikesh, we are in touch with a number of different customers at the global level, and all those subsequent visits are all scheduled as the production plan starts and ramps up, because all customers at that global MNC level want to see the actual production in full operation to really come through. So we anticipate that the revenues from the new customers that we're targeting effectively will be showing up pretty much towards Q4, and then it will roll down into 527.
And second question is with respect to this GST impact. I just wanted to understand how much is the pricing differential between the natural mint and the synthetic mint, and do the natural mint will be able to suffice to the requirement of the industry as such?
It has impacted the entire category to a reasonable extent. We as a company do not really provide the entire solutions, but and do not give the breakup between natural and synthetic per se, because we are offering the entire solution.
Okay. But by any chance, can we make the impact on the pricing or realization will be impacted because of this in percentage, if possible?
So I think we can take this question offline, because there's a lot of background noise which is difficult for me to concentrate and hear your question in total. I'm just getting bits and parts of it. So we can perhaps take this question offline.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yash Chaudhary for closing remarks.
Yes. I'll hand the phone over to our CFO for the closing remarks.
Hi. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining us in this conference call. I would like to assure our investor team and potential investors that the entire management team is working hard towards the commencement of our new facility and are focused on value-added products. We see current blip is temporary in nature, and we are very optimistic about the future of the company. So this is, thank you so much, and we'll see you again in the next quarter.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this conference call. On behalf of Gem Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.